mission of our business then is, if we're going to view somebody as a member, we're going to figure out where they are today and where they want to be, where they want to go. And even if we don't offer that today, you know, our job might be to figure out, you know, how could we help them from the thing they came for us to solve today? How could we solve that? But then how could we also look ahead and say, well, here's where they want to be, or here's where we believe they want to be. And time and experience, you know, might teach us that. But then it's all about kind of building the business to take people from the next stage to the next stage to the next stage, and ultimately almost view that our relationship is one for life.
You work hard in your business. On the Profit by Design podcast, we ask the big question. What has your business done for you lately? Hi, I'm Dr. Sabrina Starling. I'm the business psychologist, the author of The 4-Week Vacation and the How to Hire the Best series, as well as the founder of Tap the Potential, where we coach entrepreneurs like you to design sustainably profitable businesses that give you more time for what matters most and more money in your bank account than ever. Because after all, we believe work supports life, not the other way around. Weekly on the Profit by Design podcast, we bring you tips, tools, and strategies from our own experiences and from the experiences of our guests who are entrepreneurial thought leaders and real life entrepreneurs, all to support you in making intentionally profitable and sustainable business decisions to live the lifestyle you desire. Profit Designers, The 4-Week Vacation, the entrepreneur's ultimate guide to taking your life back from your business, is now available. Go to 4weekvacation.com, grab a copy of the book, and be sure to follow the steps there to claim your bonuses. When you purchase the book, you are eligible to join me for my upcoming live training, The 4-Week Vacation Better Business, Better Life Jumpstart. Plus, and you'll also get an invitation to an exclusive VIP closed-door training with me to identify the true profit potential within your business. Just follow the steps at 4weekvacation.com, and I hope that the 4-Week Vacation book inspires you for what's possible. It's time to take your life back from your business. Well, John Jantz, welcome to the Profit by Design podcast. I think this is the second time I've had you on the podcast and the third time I've had the privilege of interviewing you.
That is correct. But you're probably better remembering than me. So if you say so, it is.
I have a very vivid memory because I know that the first time you agreed to come on the Profit by Design podcast, I was so floored because in my early years when I was developing Tap the Potential and I was learning marketing, marketing was so foreign to me. And I knew I was just so determined if I was going to have a successful business, I knew I had to learn marketing. And so I was out there talking to people and asking, you know, what are the best books on marketing? And duct tape marketing was consistently mentioned in my circle of, you know, coaches who were trying to build their businesses. And so it was such a huge, and it's still such a huge honor to get to talk with you. And one of my favorite things about being a host of a podcast is getting to know people and being able to read a book and then have a conversation with the author. So as I prepared for the interview today, I came at it from the perspective of, what is a business owner who's reading this book? What are they wanting to know more about? And so that's some of the questions I'm going to be asking you. I want to introduce you to our audience because not everybody may know you. So what you need to know about John Jantz is he's a marketing consultant, speaker, and author of Duct Tape Marketing, as well as The Referral Engine, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, and The Ultimate Marketing Engine, which is his latest book. He's also the founder of the Duct Tape Marketing Consultant Network, which trains and licenses independent consultants and agencies to use the duct tape methodology. The other thing I want to share about John is he attended our Breakthroughs Retreat in 2020, right before COVID, and shared with us excerpts and thoughts behind The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur. And everyone who attended the retreat got that book as a gift. And I continue to hear people referencing quotes from that book. It's a very, very impactful book, very different from the other books that you've written.
It was very challenging, but fun just because of that. It was so different.
Yeah. So I want to go with you on your journey as you've developed your business, because you started out like so many of us start out, that we have an idea that we want to be in business and we want it to be successful. You said you started a marketing consultancy practice and you just kind of scrapped things together and you realized that wasn't the way to build a profitable business. So take us back to some of the early years and some of the things that you learned.
Well, yeah, so I did. I read out of college, actually. I went to work for an ad agency, and that's kind of where I learned the business, so to speak. But about 5 years in, realized that I kind of wanted to do my own thing. The only thing I really knew is I could hustle work. And, you know, sad to say, for a lot of business owners, that's half the job. And so being able to do that, you know, allowed me to kind of get started and stay in business while I figured out, frankly, what I was going to do, my mark was going to be. I mean, I really kind of went out there and just, like I said, I got big projects, little projects, big companies, little companies, no real plan. But ultimately, a plan, if you stick with it, if you're able to be resilient, you stick with it long enough, a plan sometimes presents itself. I got a couple clients that I really loved working with that were traditional, very small businesses. And I really couldn't figure out how to work with them in the way that I had been trained, at least in the traditional sort of agency model. And so one day I just said, look, if I'm going to work with small business owners, here's what I've got to do. I got to be able to walk in and say, look, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here are the results we hope to get. And by the way, here's what it costs. Rather than what do you need, it was very much, here's a system that we install and here's what it costs. Do you want it or not? First three people, I think I mentioned that to, were like, where have you been all my life? You know, it's like, that's, you know, marketing's kind of this crazy thing. We never know what we're getting. We never know what it's going to cost. And so in some ways, in trying to address my frustration, I tapped maybe accidentally into what is, I think still today, maybe increasingly one of the greatest frustrations with many small businesses when it comes to marketing. It's very hard to buy marketing services as a small business. You don't know who to trust. Everybody's selling a piece of the puzzle. There are so many more pieces of the puzzle today than there were 10 years ago. So somebody who said, look, we're going to make order of this. We're going to give you control back of your marketing. We're going to install a system and you're going to know what it costs, was something that was an innovation that I guess whose time had come. And so I built a full practice myself. I did not at that time want to then hire a bunch of consultants and train them in my own business. I wanted to stay lean. I enjoyed kind of that model that we were able to build. I started writing about my ideas online. That was about the time when people were really starting to get their information online. And that started attracting other independent marketing consultants that attract publishers that wanted to publish a yet unknown book called Duct Tape Marketing. And so that was about 2007. And really that's been life's work, is teaching people that marketing is a system, and obviously evolving, not that point of view, but evolving the ideas that, you know, come along because we now have, you know, different tools and many changes in the market. And now, as you mentioned it in the intro, I have a network of about 150 consultants that license and use and install the Duct Tape Marketing system, working with thousands of small business owners really at any given time.
That's amazing. And I'm really curious, because in the Ultimate Marketing Engine, one of the points that you just make loud and clear is we need to stop focusing on driving revenue and having transactions in our business and really focus on the customer success. What does it mean to our customers to be successful, and how do we go about setting them up for success and then growing with our customers? Which, by the way, and we have many who listen who are big pumpkin planners. And I love the Ultimate Marketing Engine because it maps right onto how you pumpkin plan your business. And it takes, I think when you pumpkin plan, sometimes you can stop short. And in terms of getting to know your ideal customers and how you attract more of them, and you really spell out in the Ultimate Marketing Engine the how-tos for how you attract more of them by getting to know your best customers better and better, what success means to them, and the transformation that you create for them that's meaningful. I'm curious for you, as you look back on your own business journey, from the very beginnings, how does that map onto the Ultimate Marketing Engine? What were you noticing that your clients wanted that provided transformation? And how did you, I mean, did you stumble? I have a feeling it stumbled into it, because that's how we all do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how does that map on for you?
Yeah. So one of the biggest, you know, people always ask, what's the biggest mistake small business owners make? And the one that I see always is if we sell a product or a service, there is this belief that anybody who needs that product or service is a potential customer, or even if they kind of need that product or service, they're a potential customer. And I get it. I mean, I'm not against revenue by any means. And that person shows up with today's dollars saying, I want to pay you to do this. And you think, well, we don't really do that, but how hard could it be? We get really sucked into that trap of chasing today's dollars. And what I think that is so hard and really takes time and experience to learn is the opportunity cost that's lost in doing that. Meaning that if you've already got an ideal customer, a customer that you provide a lot of value for, your best use of your time, actually, instead of learning today's new social platform of the week, might be on really spending time figuring out what else could I do that would deliver value to these people that already trust us. I mean, we all know this. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. We all know it's so much easier to do more business with people who we've already gone through the whole thing of convincing them we're the real deal. And now they just want to know, what else can you do for me? But it's so easy. It happened to me today. I had a company write to me from a software company in Israel that wanted me to do a project that really sounded kind of fun, but it's not our main thing. That's not our main client, but they wanted to throw a bunch of money at me to do it. And that's the hard part, is we have to actually get good at saying, you know, I can pay the bills today, so I don't need to take that money. Obviously, that's one decision. But I also know and have learned that the time and energy and focus that it would take to figure out how to do that piece of business would take me away from something that would actually pay me for years in doing work with my existing clients.
That is such a good point. I hope everyone hears that. I think it's one we need to be reminded of over and over, because it's so tempting to, you know, the dollars are right there. We can make it work somehow, but it takes us off track from serving our top clients and customers. So when you think about, you have a great story about your members only jacket in the 1980s. And I remember I had a members only jacket too. And I remember the feeling that I had when I put that jacket on. And you talk about creating members rather than customers. And that's a whole different relationship. So what does that mean to create members?
Yeah, it's funny, just as a side note, the slogan for members only jackets was, when you put it on, something happens.
They seeded that, right?
That's what we all bought into, right? And then I kind of jokingly say, then I looked around one day and I was a member only. You know, nobody else was wearing them, right? But I brought that in because it just, it's a funny story, but it was really to highlight the point of this idea of, what if we viewed our customers more like members? And, you know, I spell out, I don't mean a membership model or a subscription model or Costco. I mean, those are all decent business models. I'm really talking about more about a point of view about almost the idea that somebody wouldn't necessarily be a customer, they would join our business because of what they believe that they could get from that. And I think that, you know, the mission of our business then is, if we're going to view somebody as a member, we're going to figure out where they are today and where they want to be, where they want to go. And even if we don't offer that today, you know, our job might be to figure out, you know, how could we help them from the thing they came for us to solve today? How could we solve that? But then how could we also look ahead and say, well, here's where they want to be, or here's where we believe they want to be. And time and experience, you know, might teach us that. But then it's all about kind of building the business to take people from the next stage to the next stage to the next stage, and ultimately almost view that our relationship is one for life, potentially, if we can continue to do that. And I think what that does is it not only allows us to really have a rock solid business that's focused on an ideal customer, I think it actually allows the business to mature and kind of have the, in some ways, have the roadmap spelled out for you as far as where your next move needs to be, what you need to do in order to scale that business. And it's an oversimplification, but it, you know, it really does come down to than saying, okay, we're going to focus on this small group of ideal customers. And really our growth is not going to be from a line extension or from going into another niche market. It's going to be growing and scaling with our existing best customers.
Yeah. And I will say, as one who works with a lot of small business owners, oftentimes there's not capacity to go into another market or to add a different product line. And one of the biggest problems we solve at Tap the Potential is helping business owners take their lives back. And when we really focus on, look at the products and services that are in your business that are not profitable, that are actually they might be costing you more money, and give yourself permission to let go some of that good pumpkin planning so that you can focus on those top customers. One of the things that just happens is that feeling of, oh, I'm so much lighter. Our team is so much lighter. So many of the problems and challenges just go away. So on the feeling level, what you're describing, the process that you're describing, is very impactful for a business owner.
Well, and let me throw another benefit at it, is it takes away price resistance as well, because that person that already believes in you, I mean, if you went out there and said, you know what, I'm going to start a business where people can come to my house for a weekend and spend $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, and I'm going to put it out there to the world. Well, maybe some people would take you up on that because your sales copy was great. But I guarantee you, the people that had spent $500 with you, that already got some value, that realized, oh yeah, this is the real thing, I mean, they're going to line up for that. And obviously I'm talking about part of your business model that exists today. But I think, you know, that's where, I'm guessing, you know, you started out, you got clients, you started building things, you started building an audience, and all of a sudden then you start thinking, what's the next thing for them? Well, it's this retreat. Or what's the next thing for them? Well, it's this mastermind that they're only a part of. I mean, and I think that that's just a brilliant way to really scale a business, because you will have a percentage of those clients that are like, what do you got next for me? And it takes very little explanation and they expect to pay a premium.
Yes. So you just nailed it in what you described. And I will share, you know, inside peek into Tap the Potential and our, how we developed our retreat, is it used to be just offered exclusively for our clients that we had in our, at that time it was individual coaching, now it's groups. And then someone said, I'd like to invite my friend. Can we open it up so that it's available to the public? And then we thought, well, yes, we should make it publicly available. And so for 2 years, we had the retreat that we marketed out there to the public. And it was the hardest work. It was so expensive and it was exhausting. I remember one night doing a webinar and it was like 8 p.m. I lost my voice because I had been talking to people all day long. We were trying to fill that retreat. And I just thought, this is crazy. And so we decided the next year, we're going to keep it to clients who are already in our Better Business, Better Life program. Those are the ones who are eligible to attend the retreat. It's a smaller retreat. It's more intimate. And we have higher quality. The participation and what people get, it's very high quality because of that. But from the business owner side, it's made my life so much easier. So, you know, it's firsthand experience of what you're describing. So, you know, as you wrote The Ultimate Marketing Engine, you wrote it in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, I did.
When did the idea for the book start, and how did writing it during the height of COVID impact what you share in the book?
So I have to be brutally honest. The idea for the book started when a publisher said, "Here's, we want you to write a book. Here's a contract. Here's your deadline." I mean, let's face it. That's part of writing books. But I really did. I mean, I signed the contract like March 15th, you know, right when we were all starting to go, oh my gosh, is the world ending? And so my first thought was, what a terrible time to write a marketing book. I mean, nobody wants to, you know, I don't want to write about how to market in a time of COVID. I mean, we all got all of those emails and blog posts that everybody saw, like the things to do. And, you know, I was like, nobody wants to read that, especially now.
Yeah, we're over it.
But what I did see was the impact of being meaningful to your customers, the impact of really being strategic in your marketing, as opposed to jumping around for, I mean, those are the businesses that really survived and thrived in many ways, were the ones that were meaningful already in the lives of their customers. So this idea of this tactic obsession that, you know, that everybody in marketing seems to be all about these days was really what I wanted to not write about. And I wanted to write about what I saw happening is sort of a return to being more human, a return to actually being customer customer-centric instead of just talking about being customer-centric. And so this book is essentially a big fat strategy book in a lot of ways that, you know, I kind of kiddingly say that has a workshop tucked in inside it, because I also do give you lots of action steps and lots of things that you can actually go out and do, and even forms and checklists that you can grab at the companion site. But first and foremost, it's really about a long-term point of view and approach.
Yeah. And I will say that's what really impressed me when I picked it up and started reading it. Because my question was, I wonder how this is going to be different from duct tape marketing or the referral engine, because both books are great. So, you know, what is John going to take on that's different? And I think so much right now we are craving connection with people because we've been socially isolating for a long time, but also because so much of the media out there is kind of the spray and pray approach. You know, you send out an email or you do something virtual. And so what I really think is missing is that personal connection. And how do we bring our marketing down to the personal level and really build relationships with our clients and customers so that we know what the transformation is that they're seeking? And since the book has come out and you've had some feedback, you've had people utilizing it, what are you seeing as the places where people are stopping short? Like maybe they're taking chapter one and they're going gung-ho, or it's chapter two. Where's the gold that's being missed?
Well, so one of the initial feedback that I've gotten, which is very positive, is that, you know, you're telling us we can do less. We just have to do more useful. And I think that that's actually been good news for a lot of small business owners, because I think a lot of the stress in marketing a small business is that you think you got to do everything. You think you've got to be everywhere. And certainly I'm saying, no, that's not true at all. You know, go deeper rather than wider. But the part that is the most challenging for people, we talked a little bit about this idea of, you know, taking your customers where they want to go. I think a lot of people can read that and go, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I tried to introduce a somewhat innovative concept. It's probably the biggest innovation in the book that I call the customer success track, to try to give people a tool set for how to actually do this. You know, what are the stages? You know, what does somebody look like in that stage? What are the characteristics? What are the challenges that they're facing in that stage? And then what are the milestones that we need to accomplish to get them out of that stage? And I map it out completely for marketing. If you get this book, if nothing else, you're going to have the complete roadmap for what you should be doing in your marketing as you progress and mature through those stages. But my real hope and goal is that people take this and say, hey, I can apply this to my business as well. You know, it doesn't matter what I do, even if it's a home service business. I mean, obviously, professional services, certainly Sabrina, the business you're in. I mean, the idea of a customer success track is pretty easy for you to conceptualize and apply. But I think that many, many other businesses who hadn't really thought of this idea of maturing their customers, it's going to be the real proof in, you know, can people wrap their arms around this? And, you know, again, I give a lot of tools and I'm going to be doing workshops, you know, just around that idea, because I think it's probably the hardest part for people. And, you know, I've actually had some feedback from people who've read the book and said that idea. I just don't see how this would, I'm a remodeling contractor. How would this apply to my business?
Yeah. So let's take that, like, because we have a lot of remodeling contractors listen to Profit by Design. So once the job is done, how do you nurture that?
Well, first off, I think you can create a customer success track in the way in which you serve the customer. So, you know, there are many stages already built into, say, remodeling, you know, in getting the work done, you know, getting the design done, getting, you know, figure out how you're going to start, getting the work done, all the changes that happen, making sure that people, you know, are thrilled at the end of it. So there are many kind of stages built in. And so first and foremost, if you did nothing but map out what those stages are, map out what's going on, map out how your customer is going to be feeling in those stages, for example, because I guarantee you when drywall sanding comes around, they don't feel very good. And so just having an understanding around those, but then also documenting, you know, what are the milestones that we have to make sure we get across or we communicate or have happen. In a lot of ways, you will create a better service, you know, roadmap by doing that. But I think then at a bigger level, what else is going on in your customer's ecosystem? You know, what are other things that maybe they're not hiring you to do that you know are part of them having a better life in the home that you remodeled? And I think that's what gets people. If you start thinking about that, and so then you're focused on, you know, the result or the impact that you're having, as opposed to simply, yeah, we signed a contract to do this, we delivered see you later. But so that's where I think the idea wheel needs to start for you.
Yeah. And, you know, when I interviewed a lot of contractors for the How to Hire the Best edition, the Director's Ultimate Guide to Attracting Top Performing Employees, what really stood out to me is that there were a number of contractors who were very attuned to, I'm not just remodeling a kitchen. I'm creating a space that a family is going to live in that needs to allow them to do the things that they want to do. And I remember one saying to me, he said, I love to talk with my future clients and just ask them, how do you want to use this space? And I think, you know, there's that opportunity to look at, well, how do you want to use the space right now when your kids are 5 and 7 versus, you know, thinking through, well, what might you want to do when they're 10 or 12 or 15 or 20? What does that look like? And then start thinking about what is this client going to need down the road that where possibly I might be relevant again? And how do we maintain a relationship and stay relevant in their lives? And the other piece that I would imagine people might stop short on in the Ultimate Marketing Engine is the fourth and final phase, which is scaling with your customers and teaching them how to refer and really like showing what you're doing in your business and helping them and supporting them and applying it for themselves.
You know, the whole fifth step actually is ultimately, I even start that chapter, I think, saying this is essentially about referrals, because that's really the ultimate way to scale with your customers is either through them referring you, through strategic partnerships that you can create by bringing, you know, your clients. Obviously, this works mostly in a B2B arena, but bringing your clients together, teaching them how to market better, teaching them how to get more referrals, even if you're a remodeling contractor, you know, teaching, think about it, bringing your subs together and teaching them how to build better businesses. I mean, guess who they're going to turn to anytime somebody wants to remodel a home? I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the idea. I mean, even going to your existing, you know, customers, and I talk about this idea in that, you know, last step of going to your best customers. And let's say, for, I'll give you an example. This is the best way to explain it. I had another author come to me and say, look, I've got, you know, 5 books and I've speak on big stages, but I don't really have a brand. I don't really have any back-end products. You know, we want to develop a whole roadmap for that. So we worked with them to develop that and to kind of spec out what we thought she needed. She, at the time, was also working with an executive coach who was really going to help her build her organization and find the right people and, you know, all the things that, you know, that were about her kind of building and going to the next level with her business. Well, after we did the brand plan for her, I actually asked her if I could reach out to that executive coach, teach him what we had done with her so that he would be more prepared to, you know, better execute on the work he was doing. So my whole intent in doing that was I believe that that allowed me to serve her better, and it certainly is going to make him more effective at serving her as well. That was the whole goal in doing it. But since then, you know, he has referred 3 clients to us because it was such an innovative approach. But really, it's rooted in me serving, adding more value to my client. And I think in a lot of cases, when you can use that as your point of view for why you're doing something, you know, that's the happy side effect is referrals. But it's really, you know, I can see that many businesses go, you know, anybody I work with, any business I work with is working with other professionals. So the more I can teach those people, you know, where this business is going, what we're recommending and why, the more prepared the accountant, the lawyer, you know, the banker is going to be to serve that, you know, our mutual client. And in the end, you know, why wouldn't they refer business to me, you know, because that approach is so valuable.
And it means the world to the client when those other people in their world are collaborating and connecting and talking to one another and trying to be successful for the client, because that's the ultimate person that's being served by all.
And there's really very few people linking those together. If you think about it, I mean, we're all working in a vacuum. We might actually be conflicting each other, you know, in what we're telling the client. So by just getting on the same page from a communication standpoint, you know, everybody wins.
Absolutely. You know, one of the points that really stood out to me in the Ultimate Marketing Engine is as you build a relationship from somebody getting to just find out about you to, hey, it sounds like they might be able to solve a problem that I have. Hey, they have a solution. Hey, I want to try this. There's a whole, you know, the map, okay? There's a psychology where we are in each phase of that map. So like the know, like, trust, and I think you try, buy, and repeat. Okay.
Repeat and refer is the final step.
Yeah. And refer. Yeah. And so if we are not aware of the psychological need that a prospective client or customer has in a particular phase, we can be completely miscommunicating with them, like missing. It's like talking Spanish to someone who doesn't speak Spanish, and like they're not getting it. So in the know, like, and trust phase, where do we miss the boat?
Well, so just to let people off, if they're thinking, oh, I have to know people's psychological needs, that is absolutely what you have to know, but I'll make it simpler. They have different questions. They're asking different things. They're trying to accomplish something different, you know, at each of the phases. So think about it that way. I mean, if somebody isn't even 100% sure of what their problem is, they just know that something's wrong. You know, they have different questions, and they have, those questions have nothing to do with what you sell, probably, right? They have not made that connection. So a lot of where people miss that is we want people to know about us. That's the one everybody gets. Well, yeah, I run ads. I do social media. You know, I do SEO. But then we want to sell people something. And in many cases, there's a couple problems with that. Missing like and trust, or missing like, trust, and try does two things. First off, it turns us into a bit of a commodity. You know, it's like, oh, I saw your ad, you've sell this thing. Okay, I have no way to assess whether or not that's a good value. I'm going to shop around price-wise. So we haven't shown them how we're different. It also has the tendency to not allow us to attract ideal customers. In many cases, I teach somebody how to be an ideal customer. I teach them why they need strategy tactics. I teach them what a marketing system is going to bring to them before I ever start saying, oh, by the way, we have the perfect marketing system for you. So by the time somebody goes through those stages, and again, I'm not in total control of how they go through those stages, but as long as we're addressing what we believe the questions and challenges and objectives are at each of those stages, people are going to eventually kind of move through those. And by the time they get to the point where they say, hey, I want a consultation, or I want to meet with you, there's a good deal of education on that in many cases has them expecting to pay a premium to work with us, but also to see us as a trusted advisor. That, you know, there's nothing worse than a consultant showing up and saying, what do you need? Because here's the thing. They don't know what they need, right? They just know where it hurts, you know? And so, you know, we have to be the one that prescribes, you know, here's the problem you're having. Here's why you're having it. Here's what your world could look like if you didn't have it. And by the way, now it's time to present to you my lovely, you know, package solution, because you fully understand, you know, how we're going to work and why that's in your best interest to work that way.
Yeah, it's really that communication of, I get you. I get what you're going through, and here's the solution, and it's going to make these things better. But that whole, the relationship building is happening throughout. And that's what makes, you know, you said price irrelevant, because you demonstrated the value. And in terms of looking ahead for small business and the challenges that might be coming down the road, possibly inflation being one of them, and everyone is concerned about being a commodity and, you know, people making choice based on price. One of the things that we touched on earlier in the conversation is about when you're getting to know your best clients and customers and what their needs are, you're creating that opportunity to innovate. And when you do that, you become so unique that price, it's not going to be a part of the conversation. And at the same time, I believe it's important that we be able to show value. And a lot of times when I talk to small business owners about intangible value that's being created, it feels like it's kind of fuzzy and woo-woo. It comes from getting to know your top clients and customers and what they most want. You have some great questions in the Ultimate Marketing Engine, and you suggest that we sit down and we talk with some of our clients, particularly newer clients, and ask some of these questions. And I love this. Would you share some of the questions that you think are important to ask?
Well, so one of the things that in, you know, years of asking, going to customers and saying, what is it that makes you unique? I've discovered that they don't know. Businesses don't really know. It's like, well, we've got this thing and we do it better than anybody else. And then you start talking to their clients and you start asking, well, first off, things like, how did you find them? Why did you decide to go with them? What do they do that others don't? And listening for the question beyond the question. So we never take like, what do you do that others don't? Well, they provide better service. That's not very helpful. And everybody claims that. What does that mean? And so we start really then pushing and saying, well, tell me a story about a time when they provided better service. And what happens is we ultimately end up hearing themes and phrases that are repeated all the time that are really people saying, here's the problem they actually solved for me. And it's never they have the best this or, you know, they have the best that. It's always they show up when they say they're going to. They clean up the job site, you know, meticulously. Like, they listen to us, you know, like nobody else did. Those are the things that, those are the problems that people are trying to solve and those are the things they're not getting from everybody else. And to me, those really lead to clues for what your kind of opening message ought to be. You know, it's not about we've been in business so long or this is what we do. It just floors me how many websites you go to and they say, we are a remodeling contractor. Okay, I kind of knew that, but I have something along the lines of talking about the experience of getting remodeled as your home remodel is just as important as the finished product. Now that's starting to address what's really bothering me. That's starting to address the problem. I actually come out and just plainly say, nobody wants what we sell. I mean, they want their problem solved. And one of the ways that you communicate instantly that I get you is to get the problems that your business is solving for your ideal customers. And, you know, in addition to those interview questions, which we do all the time and have done for years, you know, increasingly today, people are turning to Google and leaving those 5-star reviews. Mine every single one of those for the words and the phrases that come up time and time again, because that's some of the, not only could become your core message, it could be topics for blog posts, for, you know, it could be email subject lines. You know, use the words of your customers because they can say it in a way that probably your other ideal customers want to hear as well.
Yeah, I cannot agree more that that is the goal. Use their language. Don't, I think sometimes when, I know when we do the pumpkin plan with our clients and they do the wish list interviews and they don't take notes on what's being said, or they just or make a summary of what was said, you miss all the subtlety of the words and phrases that your top clients are using. And it's those words and phrases like attracts like. So when you use those words and phrases and put them out there, it will catch the attention of the right people for you to do business with. The wrong people, they'll go right past them because they don't speak the same language.
And look for those phrases that are emotionally charged. I mean, that's the real gold. I mean, I give you one example, and this sounds really goofy, but we had a lawn service. It was a subscription lawn service there in Texas, so they mowed year round. And, you know, I think they had some line about like, lawn mowed for, you know, as low as so much, you know, basically all on price. We looked at their reviews. We interviewed their customers. We saw 4 times somebody saying, I just love coming home on mowing day. And again, you know, that may not sound like much of a core message, but if you think about it, their best customers were basically saying, I can trust them. I can rely on this. I'm not always getting that feeling, you know, from everybody else that I do business with. Mm-hmm. And so it was an ability to take something that sounded so far out in left field and really create a differentiator that was emotionally charged.
Yeah, I immediately had a feeling and thinking about myself coming home on mowing day and what that must be like to drive up in your driveway and your yard looks great. And, you know, you're just ready to relax.
And their best customers were dual income, you know, households and things that, you know, they wanted that convenience. They wanted to be able to rely on something for once, you know, happening. And so it changed the entire sort of positioning, you know, of their company by just reading the words that their best customers were actually telling.
Yes. And I also want to say one of the mistakes that I see business owners make around this is when you read through your customer reviews or if you interviewed and you're reading the transcripts, you will see things that your customers say, and they're so much a part of who you are and how you just naturally do business, you'll take it for granted. You'll say, yeah, of course we do this. What's the big deal?
Yeah, that's mom told me how to treat people.
Exactly. But that is your biggest opportunity to differentiate. They're commenting on it because somebody else didn't do it for them. It matters to them that you did it. So don't take that stuff for granted. Pull it out and really look at how do we use this to attract more of the right customers. John, this has been a really fun interview. I'm honored that I've gotten to read the book now twice. I've given it to our team members. I highly recommend small business owners, particularly if you're pumpkin planning your business, and I know many of our listeners are. This is a great book to accompany that. If you haven't started pumpkin planning your business, I encourage you to read this book and read The Ultimate Marketing Engine, because it is going to help you really start to think in the direction of, if I want to grow and I want my customers to succeed, what are my opportunities to succeed as my customers grow and as I help them grow and achieve what they want? So thank you so much for being with us, John. Any final words before we wrap up?
Well, I just remind people that they can find the book, of course, anywhere you buy books, but you also want to look at it a little more. It's just theultimatemarketingengine.com. And one of the things you will find when you do acquire the book is that every chapter comes with a companion site where you're going to have three or four resources. So I have the checklist and the tools. This is something we do every day. This is not just something that I thought was a good idea to write about. And so we've developed a lot of tools that we use with our clients, and you're going to get them all free.
Yeah, there are so many tools that come with the book, and but they're simple, and they really, it's a progressive. When you start at the beginning, it really is like a workshop. It just takes you right through all the way. So thank you so much for your generosity in creating that, because it's one thing to read a book, but to apply it and have the author guiding you with the tools is incredible. So.
Yes, that's my goal. Thanks, Serene.
Yeah. See you later, John.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Join our conversation in the Entrepreneurs Take Your Life Back Facebook community at tapthepotential.com/group. Share your aha moments from today's episode, ask me questions, and join in on the fun with your fellow entrepreneurs on the journey to designing sustainably profitable businesses that give you more time for what matters most and more money in your bank account than ever. And finally, share today's episode with a friend if you know a friend who would enjoy it. This is real life business. Keep your chin up. Keep moving forward. You got this.